Well, it is Bonnie Raitt's song, Feels Like Home, and home is being on the road for our first guest. Last time we caught up with Kristen Henning, our nomadic retiree and roving correspondent for Travel Writers Radio. She was covering America's national parks. Then she went to Croatia, and she spoke to Graham earlier about the food, the wine, and the way of life, a mix of Eastern European and Mediterranean.
Well, back on the line at this point, she's in America, but well-known nomad, Chris Henning, is back on the line. How are you going today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Well, we have a political free zone here, but I imagine that there's a few Americans a little bit concerned right now.
It is a very strange state of affairs. My home state is Minnesota, which voted for Hillary. It's a historically a very Democratic state. I'm currently sitting in Iowa, which went for Trump, as did Nebraska, the neighboring state. So it's
across the river.
I'm surrounded. That's all I can say.
Now, you've actually been in Croatia, but you may have wondered where you were at one point, given that Croatia's undergone a bit of turmoil in its time. And you're here to talk to us about being in Croatia. You've only just come back, haven't you?
Yeah, it was there at the end of October, and it was a very short stay, but we absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it. It's an amazing combination of Mediterranean feel, but you also do still get some of the Eastern European influence. You know, on the east, it's the Danube River, and on the west, it's the Adriatic Sea and a lot of Italian influence. So it's an interesting place.
Right, and they've divided up the territory in this area, haven't they? Yugoslavia was the name we probably all grew up with there, and now we sort of have Bosnia and Herzegovina and
Serbia, Croatia, part of Montenegro. These were all part of the Yugoslavian region, and now they're all joyously
separate.
Independent.
Right. And so Croatia, you know, for all of its sins, those foisted upon it, how did you find it?
Well, it surprised me, first of all, in that it's so close to Italy. It's an hour's flight from Rome to Split or Dubrovnik. And it surprised me also in its Mediterranean feel and influence commingled with Italian influence. So, you know, what I've been thinking about and talking to you is about the how that manifests itself in the food.
Yeah, and that sounds interesting. It's on the water, is it not?
Yeah, Croatia basically is directly east of Italy. If you think of the boot of Italy,
yep.
Then there's the Adriatic, and then there's Croatia, and it's a long, skinny country. Mm. And we spent this visit on the, it's called the Dalmatian coast. And in the northern part of that coast, it borders Italy and Slovenia. And in the southern part where the red wines come from, it's amazingly, I just didn't expect that Mediterranean warm, sunny climate.
Okay, you were prepared to be rugged up, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds great. So obviously, being in the location it is, seafood would be a major item, would it not?
Yeah, seafood is the best. And again, I'm speaking mostly of the Dalmatian coast. The eastern part of Croatia might have a little different cuisine, but seafood is king on the coast, and we spent this week divided between the cities of Split and Dubrovnik. We started in Split, and there is a culture of these taverns that are called konobas, and the konoba is a family tavern with regional food, and primarily fish in this area. They bring a big platter out to you when you sit down to show you the catch of the day, and you choose what you want from that platter, and they'll grill it up for you as you like. It's a wonderful experience. So we We had a sampler platter. I had sea bream, and it was absolutely delicious and just pure and simple, fresh.
Yeah, well, fresh you can't beat, can you?
No, you can't. No. And they use a lot of the seafood in sort of Italian-based dishes, mindful of Italian. They wouldn't want to say they're Italian. Mm. They're Mediterranean, they're Croatian, but they overlap, such as a seafood stew or a bean stew that has seafood incorporated in it. Or my favorite was the black risotto. In Croatia, they use the cuttlefish, which I really had to investigate. I thought it was the same as squid. It's in the squid family, but it's not precisely the same. But
it's much bigger, isn't it? And a little bit tougher.
It is bigger, and I know nothing about the preparation of it in this in the black risotto, other than that the ink, of course, is used to give it its color. But oh my goodness, it was delicious.
Oh well, I'm really pleased to hear that. It's something great about going to a new community and just finding that they like things simple. You know, the French did us a disservice by trying to sauce up everything. But here are places in the world where you can just go, and if it's come out and thrown on a piece of heat, it tends to work.
Well, that's true, but it's funny that you mentioned that, because I found that to be very true of the seafood, and not so much for the meat dishes. We had some difficulty in finding really good, simply prepared, delicious meat. And I know it's there. We did have some outstanding exceptions to that, some lamb, a pork loin, a ribeye steak. But very often in what is more the continental Eastern European influenced part of the cuisine in Croatia, they use a lot of sauces. A beef stew is a very popular dish. And unfortunately, whenever we ordered it, the restaurants seemed to be out of it or they were closing for the season.
Yeah.
But we did have some overly fussy, very sauced up dishes that just, instead of enhancing the meat, hid the meat.
Yeah, right.
And, that's not to my liking. So.
No, do you think it's possible that meat is a little bit too expensive in that part of Europe?
No, actually, I don't know that that's it. And I'm speaking really without a lot of knowledge on this because I didn't spend time in the markets. But I think it is, it's more a custom of doing a lot of ingredients, a lot of preparation, cooking meat for a long time.
Right.
But right now you can get excellent lamb, and have it simply prepared. It's right. Just not part of the tradition.
Okay. Well, there's a warning for our fellow travellers if they happen to go to that part of the world. Maybe stick to the fish. Now, but I imagine that they wash things down with a good beverage of some description over there. You mentioned red wine. What do they have?
I was totally surprised by Croatia's wine. I went into this visit purely on vacation without a lot of research, but the wine in Croatia is excellent, and it's there's so many grape varieties in so many distinct regions, and the geography is so rugged and changes so much from coastal to inland and mountainous and the Danube area, that you can really find just every kind of wine that you might want.
Right.
The white wines are especially intriguing. I've always liked Italian white wines. The white wines from Croatia tend to be from Istria, which is the peninsula up in the northwest that abuts Italy. It's very close to Trieste, Italy.
Yeah.
Those are delicious wines. Many, many grapes in Croatia are native to Croatia. And the red grapes are generally from further south on the coast
warmer.
Are delicious Italian-like red wines.
Okay. So do they have a particular red wine. You know, Italians have Chianti and things like that. Do the Croatians have a red wine by which they would brand themselves?
Yeah, they have a wine called Plavac. Plavac Mali is the most is the grape that is the most planted grape of the red wines.
Yeah.
And that is it's a marvelous red. The Bavić grape is also native to Croatia, and that's a bit more towards the Zinfandel depth, a little bit heftier.
Yeah.
I didn't find the reds to be as earthy as, for example, a Spanish red, but very complex. The geology is limestone, so you get some of that in their wines, and the reds are, to me, mindful of the Italian reds.
Well, limestone's a very popular. We have a limestone coast here in South Australia, which produces some magnificent wines. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I guess it also,
there's other
elements that come into play. And so was there actually a food dish that they would also claim as their own? Or a dessert, or a cake?
I think that the pasticata, which is the beef stew, is widely regarded as the national dish.
Okay.
I think the black risotto is also thought of as a national dish. And it's a broad spectrum when you consider that it's a small country with a complex array of food sources.
Okay, and just quickly in the minute or so we've got left, how did you find the people, and was it easy to get around? Do they speak English? How is it for a Western traveler?
Yeah, it's very easy to travel for Western travelers. Our only issue is that we were late in October and many things were closing for the season, so that was our only disappointment. That was not a difficulty at all. The people were, English is spoken, the menus are in English. It's very easy to get around. We actually hired a car and drove from Split to Dubrovnik because at this time of year, the ferries were limited to weekends only. Most people like to do a little island hopping as they travel around. We didn't have the opportunity to do that. So we hired a car, and I had read that there's some difficulty because you actually go through a tiny little, like 15-kilometer bit of Bosnia, which juts out to ocean access. So you have to drive through that to get between the two cities. I'd heard that there, you know, that's complicated. It wasn't complicated at all. You just have a passport with you,
okay,
and you have a checkpoint. So it's wonderful. We had a great time, and I was so glad we did hire the car so that we could see the inland mountains a little bit. They're beautiful, rugged, and sparsely populated. It's really spectacular.
Well, Chris, again, great to talk to you. You do bring life to your reports about these interesting places that you visit on your nomadic travels, and I envy the fact that you do what you do. But I suppose it's always good to get back home, and you're about to prepare Thanksgiving dinner, is it, or lunch for your crew?
Oh, it's dinner. It will be a late afternoon dinner, and I'm most excited about preparing wild rice, which is a rice from, well, in this case, from Minnesota, and it's cultivated only by our Native Americans. So I love to prepare it with just some sautéed mushrooms and butter, salt and pepper, and there it is.
Sounds great, Chris. Thanks again for being with us, and we look forward to talking to you on your next travel somewhere.
All right. My pleasure. Fun to talk to you. Thanks, Graham.
Bye.
And that was Graham Kemlow with correspondent Kristen Henning.